from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Marin social worker Peter Plantin credits his own mental health diagnosis for his ability to gain the trust of his homeless clients, many who face similar issues. He'll join us as part of our first-person series on the leaders, innovators, and others who make the Bay Area unique. Then at 10:30, forced DNA tests, constant surveillance, even physical and mental torture. China's ethnic minority, the Uyghurs, face a state-sponsored campaign of religious and cultural discrimination. And the Chinese government has forced around 1 million Uyghurs into internment camps for what it calls re-education. We'll talk with a Uyghur American activist who says her aunt and sister disappeared after she spoke out. That's coming up after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Most days, social services peer counselor Peter Plantin can be found driving around Bolinas, Pont Reyes Station, and other Marin communities, checking up on homeless individuals with mental health problems and connecting them to services. Given Plantin's own bipolar diagnosis and decades-long struggle with alcoholism, many of his clients feel they can relate to him. And as part of Forum's first-person series profiling unique people here in the Bay Area, we want to talk this segment with Peter Plantin about his work. And welcome, Peter.
Hi.
Hi, good to have you here.
Thank you.
Well, you're doing some pretty extraordinary work here with in West Marin with the homeless and the mentally ill, and you're called a social services counselor. What are you actually doing out there? You're on the ground.
I'm actually a street outreach worker, and I'm on the ground. I'm the first one will meet them in camps or underneath freeways. And then I talk to them and see if I can get through their stigma of mental health issues. And then I try to get them on programs where they eventually could get housing.
And the work that you do with them is enhanced to some extent, as I said in the introduction, by your own experience, your own history and background, yeah?
Yeah, that's very important because to be a social worker, you have to have a license. I'm unlicensed. But my experience is from my own personal experience, and then they can usually tell right away when I start talking, how I dress, that they can relate to me. Not everyone, but I'd say 75% of the people that I meet I can relate to.
And what services are we talking about?
We're talking about services. I'm a mental health contract worker from Marin County Mental Health. So the services that I'm looking for in my criteria is the person has to be mentally ill, fairly acute, like bipolar or schizophrenia, and then they have to be homeless. And then there's two programs, one called Bridge, then the other one where I used to work as a case manager called Odyssey, and those are both mentally ill homeless programs from Marin County, and then they give the client, once they're enrolled, give them a case management. They get to work with a psychiatric nurse practitioner, and then they start looking for housing. Those are the licensed case managers. I'm the social worker or street outreach worker who's on the street who gives them a handoff. And usually when I find people like that, doesn't take like a couple of weeks. It can take anywhere from 6 months to 1 year. And I'm working with one person right now, and it looks like that we're going to be able to help that person starting tomorrow and get housing. And we've been talking to this person for about 5 years.
It's pretty rewarding work, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that's what people say. But when I come home after work, I just crash because it doesn't feel rewarding. At that time, it feels like I'm drained. But if I go on vacation and people ask me, what do I do? And I tell them, that's when I feel rewarded.
The person you're working with now has actually been homeless for 5 years. Is that right?
Right.
And how did you get into this work, Peter?
I've been from a retail family, and I was 22 years in retail, 22 years alcoholic. And then when I started, quit drinking through a 12-step program, I was working at a clothing store on Fillmore Street, and I saw a picture in the Chronicle of a man lifting another man from the gutter. And that man that was doing the lifting was a street outreach worker. And that really fascinated me. At that time, I said, I got 3 years sobriety. I'm going to quit the retail forever, and I want to go into this field.
You've had decades of sobriety now. Congratulations.
20 years.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And let's talk about a typical day for you. I mean, you're finding people often who are literally not only on the street, but in the street.
Right. We meet in the morning, me and my colleague, Kanisha Arlove, who's very, very, very important to me. And then we just start driving. We usually have referrals. We have some appointments. We don't have an office. Our office is in the van. So we're working outside 6-7 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then when people say, well, what are you going to do today? Well, we don't always know, because we get propelled by the phone calls that we get from agencies or from people themselves, and then our day starts. And we just, you know, one day we'll be driving to West Marin looking, trying to find somebody who's in a homeless camp that needs help. Another day we might have some meetings in an office, but we don't go to trainings anymore. We don't have any staff meetings. We just keep indirects to show how long we work with the clients.
And a lot of this is in Bolinas, too, we should add.
Yeah, right? And Bolinas is very rough. The people in Bolinas is kind of like the end of the train. They don't want help, really. And so when I meet somebody there, it's going to take like 2-3 years before they can trust me. And so I have to build a bridge of trust. And, you know, I'm getting better at it after doing this for 15 years. But in the beginning, it was very, very difficult.
It's also hard because some of the people don't want to find a roof over their head, literally.
And that's in Bolinas.
Yeah.
They call going to San Rafael over the hill, and they'll tell me, yes, Peter, we'll work with you and you can work with me, but I'm not going over the hill.
You said it was difficult. How's it difficult?
It's difficult because, you know, I just come up on a homeless camp and they don't know who I am. And I have to say, I'm Peter from the care team. What's the care team? What do you do? And I said, you know, I'll help people with if you have any mental health issues. Oh, no, I don't have any mental health issues. You have them. No, well, whatever. How about if I can just talk to you from time to time? And that goes on for, you know, 6 months to 2 years.
I'm talking with Peter Plantin. He's a social worker with Community Action in Marin. Can you tell us, well, I want to hear a story, and I want to hear a story, if you could, that comes to your mind that was particularly challenging and maybe even heartbreaking. But first, tell us a successful story, a story which you really...
The story we're working on today and tomorrow is a successful story. This person, I can't say their gender. That's this person is... For 10 years, this person did trust us. And so eventually we were working with the highway patrol, and this person's underneath the freeway right now in the way of Caltrans, who are working on the train, the smart train. And this person has to leave. But she had – there you go. The person has 50 to 100 bags of things that this person doesn't want to give up. And so that's going to be really hard take this person to a program, they can't bring all that stuff. And so that's another thing that's difficult. And then they want to know, why are you helping? Well, you know, who are you? And that just happens all the time. And so that becomes very difficult to get on first base.
So the breakthrough is really the feeling of success when
yes,
you make
it
through.
Yeah. Yes.
And when they feel trust in you, despite the fact that you're a Republican, aren't you?
Oh, boy, I was hoping you didn't bring that up.
That's
yeah, I'm a Republican.
Maybe the only Republican social worker in Marin, you said?
I never met another one, but I'm sure there might be one or two. In San Francisco, there might be one or two. But Midwest, there's a lot of them.
Well, this proves what we had in the last segment, that you can't tell. You should never jump on labels or do that sort of
right.
thing. But what about people? Let's talk about the issues that some of these people had, particularly who lived outside for 10 years.
Okay, let's say they have, like, schizophrenia, and the person is hearing voices or seeing things that other people can't see. And so that could drive them down to the ground where they're living, you know, in poverty underneath the freeway, go bathroom in their pants, can't make it to a restroom, afraid of having, you know, go into a Starbucks, scared out of their wits. And, you know, that's the person that we're trying to lead into to get that person help. And when you ask them, do you want housing? Well, I don't know. I don't want you guys to call me mentally ill. If I have to be called mentally ill, I don't want housing. But eventually, you know, if we just keep working, be kind, keep checking on them, then they put their guard down. And when they put their guard down, then we act real quickly to try to get them into a program, a regular housing program.
The hardest part of your job is when you build up trust and you think you're moving forward and somebody dies. Yeah.
Here's a sad story. So I had this guy that I was bringing to San Francisco because he had a really bad heart issues. And he had to go to, I can't remember the name of the hospital, UC San Francisco. And he kept telling everybody when he would meet a doctor and I would be in the room with them, he said, "I'm fine, I'm okay." And then after we leave, I said, "Look, you're not okay. You can't work. You can't do anything. Why are you telling everybody you're okay?" "Oh, I just want to have a new heart. I want a new start. I want to be a new man." And within appointments that I was taking him, he died. And it was just heartbreaking, and I quit working for about a week.
That raises another question. I mean, you can internalize these people's lives, and you can, in some sense, not only maybe identify with them, but identify with them too strongly. It gets to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it wears me out. You know, I forget the word right now. It could break you mentally and physically. And I get really tired. I'm 67 years old, and I'm running up these hills and stuff, and I don't know how much longer I can do it.
So
I get really
tired. You're also internalizing pain of people.
Yeah, that's true. And it's just, you know, I had a therapist for 11 years, and it really helped, and she retired. And so I'm looking for another therapist. And that's when I really discuss the issues that I'm doing. And talk about, you know, my problems.
Didn't you also have a client one time who you kind of were trying to keep away from San Rafael because you were saying there were too many drugs in San Rafael?
Yeah. This client was a woman who liked to fight with men who picked on her. She was a Harley Davidson Hells Angel woman in her past. And just before she was going to go back to San Rafael and she was in Point Reyes Station, I said, "Please don't go back there. Don't get in trouble. Don't go to jail. Things aren't looking good for you. You look like you might be able to, you look like you're going to die pretty soon. That's why I'm trying to get you in a program." "No, I want to go to San Rafael." So she went and she OD'd and died in 5 days after that conversation.
Part of our first person series, we're talking with Peter Plantain. He's here with us in studio. He's a social worker with Community Action of Marin. And you may have questions for him, and you may want to indeed talk with him. And if you do, we invite you to join the program. Our toll-free number is available right now. The number to call is 866-733-6786. Please feel free to be part of the program. Again, you can join us toll-free at 866-733-6786 or by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and simply click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Can you give us some insight into what makes people homeless? I mean, it's always been a riddle and a kind of enigma for many people, why, particularly people who would not want a roof over their head.
Right. Well, those are the people we work with. There are people that lose their jobs and then they go into the system and they get help pretty quickly. But we work with them, like I said before, Michael, we work with the most difficult ones. And a lot of them don't want help. And then you have to show them that, you know, wouldn't you like to have a roof over your head? "Yeah, it's been raining a lot. I'm getting older. Yeah, I like to just think about it. Can I think about it?" "Sure." And then we just, like I said, we try to build a bridge of trust, and they cross the bridge and then they get help. And I probably have helped in 15 years 75 people that got housing. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but these people are the most difficult.
And you're also often the first person to encounter someone who is one of your clients who is deceased, and that's even before the emergency services arrive.
Yeah, that's really bothered me. That's about four or five people. I was looking for a man. He wasn't mentally ill, but they asked me to check it out, look up on San Rafael Hill, and I found him hanging from a tree. And that image has never gone away, and that was about 8 years ago.
Most of this work you do concerns people who have mental illness or addictions. What about people who do not have either of those? Is that a rarity?
That's not my client. My client has to fit that strict criteria. If the person is doing okay, don't call me. I'm the guy that works with the people who are not okay.
Let me find out what our listeners want to say or ask to you. But let me just go back to that question that I was kind of intimating a moment before. How it is to encounter the homeless person or people that you find dead? Obviously, emotionally, it gets to you on a strong level.
Really bad. And I usually take time off. And I found another person. He actually had an apartment. And the licensed case manager said, "Go check him out. We haven't heard from him." I go in there. It smelled kind of bad. And I look at him, and it looks like he's taking a nap. And I get closer, and his skin was black. Not blue, black. And he had been dead for 10 years. And I took about 3 weeks off that. I was the first one on the scene, and I've been on the first one on scenes about four or five people.
Boy, maybe really time to think about retiring, although there aren't that many Peter Plantines out there, are there?
No, there aren't. There are probably about 12 of us out working out in the street.
Let me go to a caller, and Elizabeth joins us. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you to the to your speaker for the work that he's doing. I live in San Rafael myself, and I am a Republican, a rarity. That drugs are such a situation in our society. I have helped homeless people myself.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth, you're cutting in and out here. I think she's talking about, though, people taking in homeless people, but drugs are everywhere, and it's a constant problem. It's a persistent and almost in many people's minds insoluble problem. What do you say to that?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Peter. Well, I mean, we didn't talk really about people who are duly diagnosed, who have bipolar and heroin addict or alcohol like I was, or somebody that's smoking meth daily. We just helped a person who has a house but practicing harm reduction and smoking meth daily. And so we're trying to see, you know, how we can get him help for that. Doesn't want any help right now.
Here's Venkat from Saratoga. Venkat, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Before I start, I just want to express my appreciation to Mr. Plantain for all the work he's doing. I think this
Thank
is...
you.
Really grassroots level, attacking the problem where it is felt and hurts the most. So I really appreciate that work. And my question to you, Mr. Plantain, is I work in the Silicon Valley tech sector, and when I listen to, something like this, I'm just wondering what folks like myself can do to help more on this. Thank you so much, and I'll take my answer off your
Thank you for the question, Peter.
Yeah, well, you can help people by just being kind to them, or you want to buy them a lunch. I'm one of the only ones that give homeless people money. Most of them don't because they said, well, Peter, they're just going to go get alcohol. Well, that's really up to them. Once I give them my money, it's their money. And so they really respect that attitude that I keep. That, you know, it's your money. If you want to buy alcohol, that's on you. That has nothing to do with me. So you can be kind to them. In Marin County, people call us all the time. They say, look, we have somebody on a hill, somebody in my backyard. Could you come over to Mill Valley and talk to this person and help? That happens 3 or 4 times a week. And so, you know, a lot of the times they want help, other times they don't. We just got one on Monday, and he's going to go in the system really, really quick because he wants help desperately. And he's been homeless in Berkeley, homeless here for 2 years. And he's had a lot of problems with PTSD. And so I think he's going to get help, and I'm really – that's a success story. I'm the one of the few that comes home and says, what did I do? I feel like I haven't done anything. So I do have a lot of success stories, but when people put me on the spot, I usually go to the ones that have failed, that have died.
What about social services that are not in Marin County that should be there, could be there to help people even more?
Well, I think they have a lot of outreach workers. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I had all those tents and all the people that you see in San Francisco, Berkeley, and we don't have that yet. So we don't have a hall on, you know, 2 or 3 blocks, feces in the street. We have some of that, but not like Berkeley and Oakland and San Francisco. And my heart goes out to the people who are working with those people. And they're a little bit different than my criteria. But, you know, there are social workers and street workers out in San Francisco and the East Bay that do this work.
What's the most rewarding thing about your work?
That I finally feel that I belong in a place where I thought that when I was drinking that I just couldn't relate to anything and my life was just going to be a waste. And I always said, if I can just help 2 people, I'll be happy. Well, I've helped 75 people. And so I guess I really, you know, talking here and I'm not at work and I'm not drained, I feel rewarding. Talking to you, Michael, is making me feel like I'm doing something really important.
You're making a difference, and I commend you for that, and I know many people feel the same way. Let me bring some more of our callers on here. We go to Mark in Oakland. Mark, you're on.
Hey, good morning. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
You know, I live in Oakland, and I see the things that you just talked about, the encampments, and it looks like third world shanty towns. And I think about this every day and have conversations with my friends about it. And it seems like as a society, we have decided to trade people's personal well-being for their personal, like, individual freedom. And I wonder how you feel about trying to change the law where people are clearly incapable of taking care of themselves and don't want help, holding them against their will. Because right now we have, you know, psychiatric wards unsupervised in the street.
Yeah,
it
right.
It doesn't seem like it'll ever change. Change the law. How do you feel about that?
I don't really know why it's got so worse so quickly. Like 5 years ago, you wouldn't see these shanty towns in the East Bay. And a lot of that is drugs. And so when I go
a lot of it's displacement, too. People can't afford rent. That's true in Marin County, especially as it is in Oakland and everywhere.
That's true.
But I'm sorry, Peter, you were going to say.
Yeah, I mean, you just have to go one-on-one. When you see somebody and you wanted to talk to them, that's really the only thing you can do, and that's what I'm doing now. I work with about three people every day. That's about all I can handle. And so, you know, if you walk around Berkeley, you're going to find 100 people within a half an hour. So it's a really big challenge. But what you're talking about are social problems, and that's people that do that type of work policy. They see the big picture, and then they try to get help with the agencies. And I really, you know, my heart goes out to those people, the policymakers. But I'm the little guy who works on the little picture. Walk up to somebody, hi, my name's Peter, I work on the care team. And then the ball starts rolling.
Let me thank the caller. Daniel wants to know, how can someone receiving housing assistance be dead 10 years and fall off the radar that long?
Well, all these people have came from a house in the first place, and you know, a lot of that happens to do with addiction, but also the mental illness can get to them. They stop taking their medication. I was diagnosed at age 13. I didn't start taking medication until I was 57 years old, so I know a lot about resistance. And if I miss my medication for 2 days, I'm not able to go to work. So I take it every day, and it's very important. And when they stop taking their medication because they say, look, I've done it for 2 years, I guess I can stop, it usually doesn't work out too well. And then they come back.
Here's Elizabeth, who says, I'm a fellow social worker. I appreciate your guest being open about his political views, but I'm genuinely curious about how he justifies being affiliated with a party that doesn't see his clients as people who deserve basic humanity.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's quite true. The Republicans in the Midwest do social work. They just don't do that very much in California. But I bet you if you looked in San Francisco, you would find, excuse me, I'm losing my voice, you would find Republicans. But, you know, I separate that from the party. I don't take my politics out in the street. I've been a communist. I was a Green Party for 15 years. I've been everything but Democrat. It's my personal opinion that Democrats are hypocritical. I'd rather work with somebody who says, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that, like Trump. And so I know exactly where my head is. And so being a Republican has not helped. I mean, has not been an obstacle for me in helping people.
We're going to leave it there. We'll leave the politics aside. You're doing really good work. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
That's Peter Plantin. Another segment of Forum up ahead, so stay tuned for it. I'm Michael Krasny.